the questions that were the stories that I learned from several places. There was a teenager who said, "I cannot wait to graduate." Father asked, "After you graduate, then what?" And the teenager girl said, "I guess I will go to college." "And then what?" Father asked. "I will get a job." "And then what?" "I will get a better job." And the father asked, "And then what?" "I will retire." "And then what?" Father kept asking. The teenager was laughing and said, "Oh, Father, I will get old like you and die." And the father was puzzling, and then the father asked, "And then what?" He silenced the teenager. There was a boy in the third grade who was constantly daydreaming in class, thinking to himself, "I cannot wait to be in junior high." When he did reach junior high, he began to daydream again. "I cannot wait to get a set of car keys." When he got those car keys, he began to say, "I cannot wait to get a girlfriend." When he was in senior high and had a girlfriend, he began to say, "I cannot wait to graduate and get out of this place." As a college freshman, he was fond of saying, "I cannot wait to get out of school and get married and start making money." 5 years later, as a newlywed, he was saying, "I cannot wait to get a promotion and a new car, the dream car I would like to have." At age 50, he began to think, "You know, when I retire, that's when I will finally start living." At age 63, on his first day of retirement, he got into his new boat and headed it out across the lake for fishing, thinking to himself, Now I can finally leave." Skimming across the lake, and the water was so calm. And all of a sudden, he grabbed his chest in pain. And instead of finally leaving, he died. My friend, is that your story? Is that the path that you've been choosing? What are you striving for? You can chase after all things, whatever you desire, but those things will never fill the emptiness you feel inside, never bring fulfillment to your heart, and never bring meaning to your life. Only Jesus Christ can bring you an abundant life. Only when we faithfully follow the Lord, we do begin to truly live. Only then we'll see the increasing fruits of the Spirit in our lives. The Message translation paraphrase, the Colossians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, with these words. But what happens when we live for God's way? We bring gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, seniority. We develop the willingness to stick with things, a sense of companion in the heart, and a conviction that the basic holiness permeates the things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. The King James translation expresses this with a more traditional word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. Well, what do you think? What is your choice? Are you ready to make a commitment to Christ? Are you almost persuaded that the scripture said? Let's look at the 25th chapter of the New Testament book of Acts. This is a fascinating story. The apostle Paul has gotten into big trouble. The religious leaders of Israel do not like his sermon. And the religious leaders were saying, Jesus is not the Son of God. Paul is being held in oceanside of the Caesarea. In Acts chapter 25, verse 23, King Agrippa arrives at the auditorium with a great pomparet and a great entrance parade. Paul introduced to the king by Governor Festus and with this word, King Agrippa and all present, this is the man that Paul, whose death is demanded both by local Jew and those in Jerusalem. But in my opinion, he has done nothing worthy of death. However, he has appeared to the emperor. I have brought him before you, King Agrippa, so that after examining him, I might have something to write. For it doesn't seem that reasonable to send a prisoner to the emperor with that specific written charges against him. Then in the next chapter, King Agrippa says to Paul, you may speak in your defense. So Paul, with the gestures with his hand, started his defense. And the rest of the chapter 26 records what Paul said. He told about his upbringing. He told how he used to hate Christians. He told how he first met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He told how he came to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. At the end of Paul's testimony before the king, Paul asked the king, do you believe? King Agrippa said to Paul, you have almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Do you think that you can make me a Christian so quickly like this? And Paul said to the king, whether quickly or not, my prayer is that you and all who are listening today might become both almost and altogether the same as I am. How about you? Like King Agrippa, are you almost persuaded to become a Christian and dedicated yourself and committed yourself to Christ? Are you almost ready to choose Jesus in your life? My friend, today is a good day to choose Jesus. Today is a good day to accept Jesus Christ as both your Savior and the Lord. Today is also a good day to recommit to the Lord, re-engage in the gospel, to reactivate your faith, to reacquire that passion, to readmit, yes, I choose Jesus. To step off the sideline and regain in that journey towards becoming a deeply committed and devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. Are you guys ready? Are you ready to make these commitments to Christ? Are you almost persuaded? Our church had amazing gift in the past, and that gift is passed on and created a legacy in this place. What legacy would you like to leave for next generation in this place? How do we make it this commitment? Today, I would like to encourage all of us to be mindful about the blessings we receive, especially through Jesus Christ who died for us.